and welcome back to CoronaCast.
Hello.
This episode is going to be all about mental health and how to manage anxiety during the coronavirus pandemic that we're seeing. I need to do the disclaimer up front, which is that I'm a GP. I'm not an infectious diseases or a public health expert. All the opinions I express are my own and not on behalf of an organisation. However, anxiety is a topic that I deal with frequently in GP land.
Yep. So it'll be a slightly longer episode for you today, as there's a lot we want to talk about and it's an important topic.
And we'll probably be doing some future episodes about mental health as well. There's so much to say. I want to do more about mental health among medics, which is a really important topic, but obviously needs to be covered separately. We can't do it all in one go.
No, it'd be a very long episode otherwise. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our producer, Ross. He does such an amazing job, although you don't hear him. He does such an amazing job editing our podcast, and I just want to say thank you because we really couldn't do it without him.
Yeah, he spends hours on this. Yep. And his company, Pod and Tips, is amazing.
Yeah. And I also wanted to give a little shout out to my mum sitting opposite me. She doesn't know I'm saying this. Well, we didn't plan. But I just wanted to say I'm really, really proud of you for everything you're doing. You're going into work every day and you come home stressed with all the things going on. But even though, like, every time, and because of your doctor background, you know, you've got lots of friends and people getting in touch with worries, concerns about mental health or maybe other physical health, and you've always got time for people, and I just want to say well done, and I'm very, very proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Tilly. That's so lovely of you.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy to have you here watching my back.
Yeah. So how are you, Mum? How is everything? What is the deal?
So it is quite stressful working in medicine at the moment for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All the uncertainty, we all have it too at work. And in GP, it's quite weird at the moment because we've made all consultations, telephone consultations pretty much, to limit patients coming to the practice because obviously the virus can be spread in the waiting room. So it's all on the telephone, which is a new way of working. There's actually quite a bit of guilt, I would say, among me and some of my colleagues, because we feel bad that we're not seeing the patients face to face when that was always the preferable way to work.
Yeah, because I guess it's hard to work out what's going on unless they're in front of you seeing them.
Yeah, it can be. We're doing some video consultations, which are actually working really well.
That's good.
It's a good alternative, but it still isn't having the person in the room. Mm. And also, it is a lot quieter than usual for us at the moment because we've kind of cleared everything in preparation for what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the calm before the storm, but then we're seeing our colleagues in hospital working so, so hard. And so that is a bit of a source of guilt, I suppose, as well. But having said that, it's going to get very busy in the next week, I understand. And
lots of different things happening soon.
So that's quite difficult and stressful, but we're all pulling together and we're going to get through this, and you know, we will see the other side of this pandemic.
Yeah, we will.
We have to be positive, and we're going to be saying more about that in the rest
of
the episode.
And I think it's important to remember as well, like you're saying about a source of guilt, but this type of pandemic no one on this earth has experienced before, so no one really knows what the best way is to deal with it.
No,
because it's never happened before. You know, we just take instructions from people higher than us, but the highest of the high people don't have a clue what to do, you know, understandably, because this has never happened before. So
I guess seeing with the government strategy and the frequent changes and approach.
So I think it's important for you to just, I mean, you know, it's easier said than done to just try not to feel guilty, but just remember that no one really knows what the best way to deal with it is. So it's going to take time. So try not to feel like, you know, you're not doing enough or whatever, because it's really hard to know what the best thing is to do, you know?
Yeah.
So first, I'm going to ask Mum a couple of questions we've had in.
And then we're going to go on to hear from some of Tilly's friends about their mental health and how they're coping.
Cool. So this is from Claire on Facebook. and she's asking about the advice for single parents. So say you're a single parent and you come down with symptoms and the child is currently in your care. Is it best to send your child to the other parent while you recover, or is that just going to infect the other household? Like, what's the best thing to do in a situation like this if there's only one of you?
Again, as ever, this is a really difficult question. The government has covered this in their advice about the sort of the lockdown advice.
Yeah,
they've actually included a bit in it about single parents and basically saying that the child, you know, you have to do what's most beneficial for the children.
Yeah.
So if they're used
to... But I guess that's a bit difficult because children don't seem to be affected too badly at the moment.
No, but they are. So it's not about what's best for them in terms of coronavirus.
Oh, okay.
But what's best for them in terms of seeing both their parents. And, that's what I mean.
Okay.
So so if they're used to seeing both parents and they kind of need that, then they should still see both parents and transfer between the two households. Mm. If I suppose it's best for that to be done as little as possible. So perhaps rather than spending a couple of days with each parent, perhaps they could spend a week with each parent so that there are less transitions.
Yeah.
If a solo mum falls ill, that's a really difficult question because obviously there are different levels of severity of the illness. Mm. They might be perfectly able to cope with looking after their child, or they might be so unwell that they have to...
They need the child to be in someone else's care.
Yeah, give the child to the other parent. The way forward is just to take it as it comes, see how things are.
Judge as you see fit.
Yeah. Limit the number of transitions. If you're too unwell to look after your child, give them to the other parent.
Yeah, and don't feel bad about it.
And of course, there are other ways of managing seeing both parents with the video messaging apps that we've talked about before and that we're all using every day to talk to our friends.
Yeah.
So that is a way to give contact with both parents, as I'm sure separated parents do anyway.
Cool, thank you. And our second question is from Tina. She asked, could you tell me whether it is advisable for a vulnerable person to attend a hospital appointment?
This is a tricky question because I haven't met Tina before. She's not one of my patients. I don't know her medical history and I don't know how vulnerable she is or what the appointment is for at the hospital. So all I can advise is that hospital outpatient clinics have sort of converted over to telephones, a bit like GP practices. So it might be possible to have a telephone appointment. Lots of non-urgent procedures are being postponed to prevent the spread of coronavirus at the moment. So what I would advise is to contact your GP. I think people are contacting 111 for lots of different things. Just to let everybody know that GP practices are generally open for business, even though they're not necessarily having patients routinely coming in. So you can phone your GP practice, ask to speak to a GP.
Get some advice on this, because they'll know your medical history, I guess.
Yeah, and they'll know the importance of the hospital appointment and whether it's important to go or not. That we're having to do lots of risk, what we call risk-benefit analyses about, you know, what the right thing is to do, depending on what's best for the person and their health.
Yeah.
So a GP will be a good person to make that call. Also, you can sometimes contact the hospital clinic direct. If you look on the letter, there may be an email address or a phone number. So you can always contact your specialist direct. But it's actually best probably to go through your GP. They can always liaise with the hospital too. There's just this overall fear at the moment.
Just about, in the air.
Yeah, I found it the other day when I went to the supermarket. Everybody just feels really tense. Yeah, and anxious and stressed.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to walk far away from each other and it's just a really uneasy.
Yeah, like the other day I was in Tesco and people were trying to stay away, but it's hard in the skinny supermarket aisles and someone coughed and then like near this person and the person went, and I was like, oh no, this is horrible.
Oh God, you can't even cough in Tesco anymore.
I know. And also as well, like reasons that people can feel anxious is also like the frustration of being out of control of things. Like I find sometimes in the middle of the day, I'll just have this bout of like frustration of like, what am I doing? Like, what have I done? What should I be doing? Oh, I hate this.
It feels like lots of things are beyond your control and that can lead to stress. frustration, anxiety.
Yeah,
and
especially
all these,
people
all these
who like to be in control.
Yeah, these negative feelings and this uncertainty about the future.
Yeah.
Especially for young people.
Exactly. So we're going to hear from my friends now. Thank you guys so much for sending your voice notes in. So this is Hannah, Sophia, Ianthi, Dara, Anya, Elle, Tara and Katie.
I think the main platform for me anyway that I would see all of these updates, fake news, whatever you want to call it, would be Facebook. Just people sharing things, like people I don't even know, they just, it just kind of pops up on your feed and you can't help but read it because their headlines are so, like, they draw you in and you just, it could be like 10 minutes later and you've just read the saddest article, whether it's real or not real, about anything to do with this virus. And it just, I find it puts you in such a negative headspace for the rest of the day, and it's just not good because you just get down in your boots and you just feel worse and worse in yourself. And I've just started to shut it off, like just not really not look at Facebook, and or even like limit myself time wise like say, okay, I've got 10 minutes just to look, scroll, you know, see what people are doing, and then just let it go. Just sit it down, go for a walk, because it's not good to be engrossed in something that's so, that can be so negative.
So I think my biggest anxiety and worry about this virus is actually bringing it into my home and infecting my family, just because I know that my mum and dad are more vulnerable, especially my mum, because she had pneumonia, than myself infecting. Because I, like, obviously, as everybody thinks, that they're strong and healthy or whatever. But so that's my biggest concern and worry, is bringing it into my house and then making other people ill. I think one of the ways I'm dealing to cope with it, I mean, I had recently, like in the last couple of weeks, I had got really awful anxiety over it, like I couldn't sleep. But now it's getting easier. And I think that is because the government is getting more and more stricter with how we're dealing with it. But I think for me, it's more, I'm only watching the news like twice a day and trying not to talk about it in the household. Obviously, we've spoken about it enough, so everyone's being very precautious, like we're doing everything that we should be doing. But it shouldn't be the topic of every conversation, because it's just going to be bringing our mental health down. So instead, chatting about like things to look forward to in the future, and trying to keep our positive mental health. I've read a quote and it said something like, instead of waking up and feeling like, ugh, try and wake up and think, okay, we're one more day closer to things being back to normal.
Hi, Hannah and Tilly. So I guess some things that I feel anxious about is it was at the start, now I know that I don't have coronavirus, so it's fine, but at the beginning it was sort of should I go home to see my parents, or should I not risk it in case I was carrying something unknowingly, and sort of the anxiety of potentially giving something to my parents, who are a bit older, so they may not react very well if they got coronavirus. And then now that I'm in Shropshire, I guess it's just sort of trying to keep busy and finding things to do that are going to make me feel like I've actually achieved something that day. Because obviously, so I was on the same course that Tilly was on, and it was such an intense day. We had a very strict routine, you know, we'd be jam-packed full of doing things, and it was doing things that were very fulfilling creatively. And so it's just trying to find things to fill that gap and to fill that kind of void that I've kind of feel like I'm in at the moment. So to do that, I'm doing a workout every single day. I'm lucky I'm in the countryside, so I have lots of space, so I can go for walks and I can like go outside and get fresh air, which is really lucky. Me and my brother have decided to make a vegetable patch so we can do something that's time consuming and fulfilling. And then I've also just trying to like stay in contact with my creative friends, trying to think of some ideas of plays that I could maybe start writing during this time. And I'm going to try and relearn the saxophone and just try and keep doing little creative projects like that, just to keep that side of my brain taking over. Yeah, and then I think also the other thing that's quite scary is kind of what is going to happen next, because obviously like even with drama school auditions, a lot of them have been postponed or cancelled. And then in terms of like trying to find a job to make money to fund my acting career, I mean, I'm currently trying to find a job at the moment, and that is all quite daunting, I think, especially for like all of us young people who are getting their first jobs or who might be in their first job at the moment who's scared of getting fired. I just think it's quite a scary time.
I find it really weird how the world is on pause right now. Everybody's kind of stuck. Nobody can really study or work or teach or what have you. And that's really strange. And nobody really knows what's going to happen. Everything's kind of up in the air. Even when it ends, what's life going to be like after that? Is there still going to be social distancing? And is there still going to be jobs waiting for certain people? What I've found really helpful is just a really short walk has just been really nice. Even like 20 minutes or 10 minutes or not even that long, just getting out for a little bit, in some fresh air, and just sitting down outside for a little bit. And of course, still be careful. But no, I found that really helpful, and it really clears your head, and you're in a much better mindset than you were when you left.
For me, what's most daunting about the whole sort of lockdown situation, as someone that struggled with their mental health in the past, is the idea of having kind of days and weeks stretching ahead of me with nothing on, because keeping busy is something that I know definitely helps me in terms of mental health. And going to the gym actually is something that I found really helpful to kind of just process all my thoughts and work through any sort of stresses or anything that I was struggling with. But what I've really found has helped since being home, and definitely since not being at university anymore, is coming up with some sort of a routine or a structure for the day, and still making sure that I get in exercise. So even though it's been completely different to the kind of exercise that I would normally do, just like weightlifting, still doing circuits, trying to go for runs and challenging myself in new ways has been really beneficial and really kind of helped me pass the time and still feel productive.
A main anxiety I would say I have about the coronavirus would be, how do you cope being in such a small environment for such a long time? And how do you stop yourself from actually leaving the house? Obviously, you've got to think about other people, but at the end of the day, I feel like I would go crazy being stuck in a small box room for like 3 months. A coping mechanism is, I've found this quite unhealthy, but it's the only thing, it's like binge watching things. So if I find a TV series that I'm into or something, I'll watch the whole thing in one day, and then the cycle repeats, and that's the only way out of like thinking about the virus, I find, because otherwise I find that I end up just fixating on the virus. And watching an excessive amount of telly is one way to distract myself, I suppose.
I guess my biggest worries and anxiety, I think it just comes from not using this time productively. Because I'm really trying to look at the positive side of it, and that, you know, yeah, it's a good time to rest, but it's also a good time to, like, really look into the stuff I've been doing at school, you know, like, read plays, study plays, work on my own, like, personal practice. But then it's just a bit daunting because there's so much to do. And I know I work really well with structure, and to have no structure, to be able to wake up at any time you want, like, it is a bit daunting, and it's a bit like, oh God, like, will I actually do stuff? Am I going to look back and be like, oh, I didn't do anything. I didn't use that time effectively. And then I think also just all the progress we've made at school in terms of like voice and body, like, it's very much a thing of doing it every day builds that progress. So then to be at home where you're obviously like, it's really hard to motivate yourself to work as rigorously as you do when you're at school. So I don't want to lose all the progress I've made. And then potentially, like, what happens if we end up going back to school in September, and that's months off, you know, and I'll go back and I'm in third year and it's like time to do professional shows. And I'm like, oh my God. But hopefully not, and hopefully I think I'll use this time effectively. Things that I have been doing / need to do better is, I think, just for me, is waking up early, like not letting myself go to bed super late. Yeah, just wake up early, because from then you'll just be motivated just to do more things. But if you wake up late, and then like by the time you like get dressed and shower and stuff, it's like 12, then you eat, it's 1. And you're a bit like, okay, I can do something now. But then, I don't know, by the evening, you don't feel like you don't feel that tired, then you end up staying up till like 1-2 o'clock, and then the cycle just gets worse. So I think that's been a good tactic. I think also as well, just FaceTiming a lot of friends all the time. I've been FaceTime so much, but I think that's really helped actually. But I saw something, it was like, even though we're self-isolating, doesn't mean we're socially isolating. So like, stay in contact with people, FaceTime, message people, call people. That's been really helpful, just to feel like you're not alone.
Hello. So I'm someone who hates being bored. So these are just a few of my coping mechanisms, I guess, during this time. I think there's a lot of pressure from social media and stuff. People are saying, oh, now during isolation, I'm going to get in shape, or I'm going to get really good at whatever it is. But I think what's helped me so far is just taking the time to do all the little things that you actually really enjoy, but you don't usually have the time to do or make the time to do. I think it's really useful just to spend your time doing these things. So for me, it's FaceTiming friends and cousins and family members loads. Even if you're talking about absolutely nothing, if you're cleaning your room while you do it, just chat to someone. Other things for me, I love cooking. So I'm not making mountains of food, but I'm just taking my time making meals and things because I enjoy doing that. And other things are like, if you can get outside, definitely do. If you want to call a friend while you're walking so it feels like you're meeting up with someone, do that. I've done that a few times. And then last thing is like home workouts and yoga, like with YouTube videos. I love doing that as well. So yeah, they're just a few of my things. I think whatever it is you enjoy doing, if it's painting or music or reading or whatever it is, just take the time to do it because we have all the time in the world.
Thank you so much to Tilly's friends for those contributions. Yeah. They're lovely, really inspiring.
Yeah, I think it's just so nice as well to just hear from some other people and be reminded that you're not alone in this. I think with this self-isolation, whether you're on your own or with the same people, it feels like very inward, like it's you're only experiencing it, but being reminded that, you know, everyone's in the same boat, I think does help.
Everyone is going through this process together.
Yep. It's just like this for everyone.
Yeah, totally. And yes. I think it's, you know, I love hearing from young people because they tend to be naturally positive and they have this lovely bright take on life.
That's nice.
Cheesy. Okay, so we just wanted to talk through how to manage anxiety. I just should say, as a GP, that these are guidelines and suggestions for coping mechanisms that I think people find useful. That Tilly's friends touched on some of them in their
quite a few were
pieces.
Mentioned in there.
But I should also say that if you are feeling anxious and it's really impacting your life, or you're having any thoughts, dark thoughts about harming yourself or other people, you need to seek medical help straight away. I'm not your doctor, and this doesn't replace seeing a doctor. So the first port of call is your GP if you're feeling like you need help. And GP, that's what GPs are there for. Don't feel like you're wasting their time, which people often feel. This is actually important for you to do.
Yeah. Or there's lots of mental health charities. Mind is a good one. If you feel you can't speak to your GP for whatever reason.
That's true. And your local mental health trust, out of hours when GPs aren't around, will have a crisis line number that you can call. And also there's the Samaritans.
Cool.
Okay. So our suggestions for how to help your anxiety.
How to manage it.
First of all, that it's important to take a step back and look at the big picture. It's easy to get drawn into your own small world.
Which has been made much smaller recently by being cooped up inside.
Yeah, and your immediate worries. And when you take a step back and look at the big picture, and for example, like we just said, see that other people are going through exactly the same thing, Getting that perspective can actually be quite comforting.
Yeah.
You know, focusing on the one of the tenets of managing anxiety, and what one of my friends said to me actually, Kelly, focus on what you can control.
Yeah.
Not on the things that are beyond your control. And there are lots of things that obviously that you are in control of, like what you're going to do today, who you're going to speak to,
what activities you're going to have.
Yeah, when you're going to go out for your run or whatever. So focus on those things. Also, you can think about helping other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Who needs your support?
Yeah, I think control is a huge thing. I was listening to a podcast, Elizabeth Day's How to Fail podcast, one of my faves, the other day. Highly recommend. She did an episode about managing anxiety with Mo Gordat. I only listened to the first bit of it because it was on a run. But he was saying a really great thing.
Who's Mo Gordat?
He used to work for Google. And then he realised he wasn't very happy. So he decided to try and make an algorithm for being happy. And his mission is like to make 1 billion people happy.
Amazing.
I didn't know, I'd never heard of him before I listened to this episode, and only like the first sort of half an hour. But even just like his voice is so calming. I would just really recommend, like, give him a Google. He's written a book. He appears twice on Elizabeth's podcast.
And what was it that he said?
So yeah, the thing that he said about control was that as human beings, we like love to be in control, and we've kind of fooled ourselves into thinking we're in control of everything with all the stuff we've built. And that we forget that there's a lot we're not in control of all the time. And this coronavirus has really sort of reminded us of that.
It's bringing it home, you know, how we actually don't have much control at all over the world.
But, you know, you have to try and think, there's loads of things we can't control. We're just not thinking about them, you know, every day. Before this virus was here, there was lots we couldn't control, but you weren't thinking about it.
That's so true. It's a really good thought. Control is huge. Feeling like you have a lack of control is what essentially causes stress.
Yeah.
Step back, look at the big picture, think about the positive impacts that this
may have
is having on the world.
Yeah.
For example, as Tilly mentioned at the end of the last episode, climate change, pollution has
really gone down.
Yeah,
in a lot of places.
Because we're not, planes aren't in the air, we're not using our cars. Mm. So that's a positive effect. I think climate change might now be addressed.
Yeah. Also, a positive impact was the other night when the clapping for the NHS, like, it made me so emotional hearing everyone just come together like that. Like, that is 100% a positive thing.
Yeah, and it's bringing, I think it is going to bring communities together a lot more. We've been living in these little worlds with our little screens. We hardly ever know who our neighbours are.
Always
well,
so busy.
Certainly in the city, people frequently ignore their neighbours.
Yeah.
And now people really want to get to know their neighbours and make sure they're okay. So
exactly.
It's making us, ironically, it's making us look outward
more.
This
because
sense
we're being
of isolation.
Forced to be inward.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So there's a lot that we should be thankful for, and looking at the things to be thankful for rather than the things that we're scared of is a way to flip
the mentality
and anxiety, and turn it on its head and bring positive feelings.
Which brings us on to number two, positive thinking.
Yes. So there are actually techniques that you can use to train your brain to think more positively when you're in one of those kind of negative spirals. There are lots of techniques you can use. We're gonna post all of the things that we talk about in this podcast on our podcast summary of the episode. Mm. So you can follow the links, listen to the podcast or whatever that we've suggested. So there are some articles that I've read about positive thinking and the psychology behind it. But things like making lists of positive words, you can find them online, but you can make them yourself, like laughter, happiness,
joy,
magic. And so you can make a list of those words. Just by making that list, you can try to memorize the list, you can try to memorize it and say it backwards. It's kind of your brain manipulating and processing a list of positive words actually will make you feel better in yourself.
Yeah. Also, something I thought of, which I didn't tell you, but literally just before we were going to record it, was like, obviously we spoke about earlier how you being cooped up inside, if you like living on your own is one thing, but also if you're cooped up inside with other people, like, obviously you're at work all day, and then sometimes if you come home you're a little bit stressed, you know, sometimes we get frustrated with each other. When you find yourself we'd like to think when you find yourself having angry thoughts about the people who are annoying you, maybe even not at home but probably would be at home if that, you know, your tensions are running high, if you catch yourself doing that, try and sort of flip it and think about reasons why you love those people and reasons why you're thankful for having them around, and like what you should do with the time that you get with them at home.
Yeah,
instead of just feeling angry about it.
Yeah, just take a deep breath, take a step back and look at things in a positive way.
Yep.
My friend Sunshine said that with her two girls, Flo and BB, every morning they have cards with like a positive affirmation, so that they read one card each to each other in the mornings, and then in the evenings they each, the whole family including Jason the dad as well, he did the artwork for the podcast, by the way, thank you Jason, they all have to think of three things from that day or in life that they're thankful for and say them to each other.
Such a good idea, we should start doing that.
Yeah, well we're doing it at the end of the podcast a little bit with our positive thoughts.
Yeah,
so
every day
just actually taking the time to think positive and be positive
will
make you feel better.
It's easy to think thinking is a subconscious thing, but if you actually kind of try and take some time to get your thinking more positive, it can help.
Completely. You can train your brain and you can avoid focusing on the bad things, avoid the kind of all or nothing thinking, which is like, oh my god, it's all awful because this one thing went wrong. Just don't allow yourself to do that.
Being kind to yourself as well, which is such a cliche phrase, but it is really important, like treating yourself. Like when Elle in her voice note was saying, it's not very good, but binge watching TV, like it's okay to binge watch TV.
Yeah.
Take the bloody time.
It's a treat.
This is the one time, like I've seen this meme go around saying, this is the one time we can save the world by watching Netflix all day. Like just do it.
If that's
what makes you feel good, then honestly, you've got the time. This is, you know, there's nothing else, nowhere else you have to be right now. Like do it if it makes you feel good.
Don't feel bad or guilty. Enjoy it and give yourself treats like chocolate. Obviously don't eat chocolate all day every day,
which is hard, I know,
but you know,
it's okay.
I'm finding that chocolate is really helping us get through, isn't it, Jilly?
when I see you come in with the bag of Maltesers, I'm like, oh yes, things are looking up.
So definitely recommended. So next topic, yes, is about managing the inputs, as I've called it. So something that we are in control of is the things that we take in, mentally digest and put into our brain, and we can increase the positive ones and decrease the negative ones, basically,
which is kind of what Hannah was talking about in her voice note. She was saying about how like Facebook shows her like horrible headlines that you can't help but click on, and then they keep popping up. You in a bad mood.
So limit your time on your phone, on social media and reading the news. Sophia in her voice note said she just watches the news twice a day, and she and her family try not to talk about it apart from that.
That's a really good idea. And it's so hard because we're stuck, like people are always on their phones anyway these days, but like being stuck inside, not doing anything, that's just so tempting to just, and it's like by accident, you just end up scrolling and scrolling, seeing all these mad things.
We're all addicted to our phones. We know that.
Yeah. And this quarantining is not helping that.
No. So just try to put the phone away.
Yeah.
Walk away and put the TV on or do some of these other things that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it does help to literally be like, okay, today from 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. I'm going to put my phone upstairs and do something else. Like, even if it's just that, it will help.
Yeah. So just try to do that. Have a little practice. And then, as well as watching Netflix, we can read books.
Yeah. reading books. We can use that time to do, because people never prioritize reading.
No, they don't.
And this is really nice.
This is the time, you know, we now have time to do all these little things that we haven't done.
We neglect, which are probably good for us to be doing.
Time for. Yeah. Like doing things that aren't sort of sort of instant, but yeah. that take a bit longer. And reading a long book is one of those.
A good one.
Yeah. So what books have you read lately, Tilly?
I have read, I read One Day by David Nichols, which is a beautiful book. It's not necessarily it's a great book, and the way it's like set out, and I think it's good for this as well because it's very like lifey, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like yeah. it visits these characters, I don't want to spoil it, but it visits these characters once every year. It's a great, great story.
Yeah, it goes through the lives of the two main characters yeah. and their relationship, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's great.
It's about the same day every yeah. year. It's yeah. really cool.
It's amazing.
I yeah. love that.
Love that book.
I've just finished a book by Tracy Chevalier called A Single Thread, which is she writes historical novels. She wrote Girl with a Pearl Earring, and it's about embroiderers in Winchester Cathedral between the wars. So, never something I've thought about before, but it was like a really, really immersive, like involves you in a completely different nice. World that you haven't known about before. It's
Find
also
out about
a love story.
Oh, we love love.
Obs. We love love. And then also, of course, you can listen to podcasts. They're really lovely input.
Yeah.
Thank you, listeners. So what are your favourite podcasts, Tills?
My faves. Okay, I mentioned it earlier, How to Fail by Elizabeth Day. Love that one.
I love that as well.
So good.
She talks about people's failures.
And how it's helped make them a better person.
Or, successful.
Yeah, oh, it's yeah. so good.
How like we, the things that make us better it. Are our failures.
Yep.
So it sounds like it's going right to be now. Negative, but it's actually one of the most positive podcasts you could listen
yeah.
to.
Yeah. There's Dolly Alderton, Love Stories with Dolly Alderton, another really good one. Just
we
about,
love love.
Yeah, it's not just romantic love, it's about familial love, friendship love. It's just a really, it's
Your
just
passions.
Lovely to hear people's stories about love because love is a nice thing.
Yeah, we all love love, I think.
Yep.
It's important at the moment, especially. One of my favourite podcasts is Fortunately with Fee Glover and Jane Garvey. They are two hilarious women and I love them.
Yeah. Me and Mum both love the Two Shot podcast, which is a podcast that interviews actors, but we like it because it's not about so much about their career. It's about their life.
Yeah.
How they got to where they are. I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah, really interesting stories, like stories about people who, against adversity, have achieved these wonderful things.
Yeah, and just... But they'll start right from growing where they grew up and what their childhood was like. It's really, I really, really like that one.
Yeah, Craig Parkinson, he's an actor. He was in Line of Duty. He presents it.
Yeah.
And he's
really
brilliant.
Great. We love
it. He gets lovely stories out of people.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
And another thing that I was thinking about with this inputs is apparently there is psychological evidence that looking at lovely cute videos like fluffy bunnies and puppies and
yeah.
animals doing funny things, they're actually really good for your for your brain. You found that, haven't you, Tilly?
Yeah, no, one of my, because I've struggled with anxiety in the past, and one of my therapists advised me to look at if I'm feeling anxious, look at videos of puppies, and it really, really helps. Like,
so
honestly,
cool.
just to watch a little 3 second of a puppy, it really, really helps.
Okay, and next we're on to people.
Big one.
They are so important, and there are so many different ways for us to stay in touch with everybody. Mm. Self-isolation isn't really... Well, isn't social isolation.
No.
Like Tara said, we have online hangouts, Google Hangouts, Zoom,
house party.
We're both going to be on separately tonight with our friends.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
I would say quality-wise, Zoom is the best one. Like, I used it last night and it doesn't skip, and you can see everyone really well, especially if you're on a laptop. But you can on a phone as well, I think. And the picture quality is good. Then a house party is great because it's fun, obviously, but sometimes the quality can be a bit bad, but you can play games on it. Yeah, you can play games on it. It's
like
really
what?
Fun. There's you can play Heads Up, which is like charades. So I played it last night with my friends, so it will say to them what they have to like act out or describe to you, and you have to guess it. So I had them all like vigorously brushing their teeth last night at me, which was fun. The chips and guac one is rubbish. Don't play that one. Quick draw is the other one. So you can you draw things and they have to guess what you're drawing. Because I always find games bring people together.
Yeah, we're in a WhatsApp group with some of our like a family friends. Every Saturday morning we do the Financial Times quiz and cryptic crossword. Yeah. Today we got it all done by 11 a.m.
Wow.
It's so fun. That's really bringing us all together.
Yeah. So just don't forget that you can talk to you, and you know, no one's doing anything really. People are stuck at home. So you can always give your friends a call or a video chat and think about those people that you haven't spoken to for ages. Like I found loads of people are like coming into my head that I'm like, oh my God, I haven't spoken to them in so long. Like I want to catch up with them.
Yeah, people are getting in touch with each other who haven't seen each other for years or spoken in years.
That, which is a positive thing, definitely.
Again, it's another example of how this is bringing people together. And also related to this is that we should be checking in on people we care about. You can, you know, acknowledge your feelings. We're talking about positivity and everything, but you don't have to be positive and cover up the
negative things you're
having. It's important to talk about it. So when you're talking to your friends, you're allowed to say how scared or fearful or worried you are. You know, that's part of what being friends is, and part of making yourself feel better is like, talking about it, because talking about things actually helps you to process them.
Yeah, of course. And I think with talking, like being open about it, you'll be surprised, like just sharing it with someone and hearing their like just knowing that they're there for you can make you just can lift the weight off.
Yeah, a problem shared is a problem halved.
Exactly. And like the word isolation, I think, can be quite a scary word for people who struggle with mental health. So yeah, check in on those people. Check in on the people you love.
Please do. Keep in touch, guys.
Make sure you're having interactions with people, and if you need to get away from the people that you're stuck inside with, or if you're alone, like take yourself somewhere and like call a friend or another family member and just have a good old chat. Actively make sure you're having interactions with people, I think.
Yeah, it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And make sure you do talk to at least one other person every day.
Yeah, it really helps.
Now, there is a lot more that we'd like to say about managing anxiety, and there's a lot more we need to say, but this episode has ended up being a bumper episode, and we don't want it to be too long because, you know, you've got other things to do.
Yeah, and it's hard to concentrate for so long.
Yeah. So we're going to carry on and finish off next episode. There's a lot more to say about fitness, exercise, activity, creativity, and using all of those to manage your mental health and anxiety during a time like this. So we'll be back next time with all that. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. We really hope you found it helpful.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your comments and feedback and any questions you have.
Yeah. questions@coronacast.co.uk.
Yeah. And thanks again for tuning
and
in.
Thank you to everyone who sent us voice notes that we featured today. They were really, really, really great.
Yeah, thanks Tilly's friends. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for listening.
Okay, till next time, stay safe. Bye
bye.